My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading, fluoride in the water, they spray our skies daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you?
No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
What is it going to? So this guy here, let's read this real quick. So zillionaire, eccentric Brian Johnson, fresh off of being diagnosed with an incurable disease, says he just, quote, cloned himself, unquote, himself as a newborn. The immortality influencer shared it in an X update that he has a baby version of himself growing in a petri dish that he says will allow him to become his own blood boy and potentially even grow organs for transplantation. This is not science fiction anymore, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what movies are made out of. This is what we see in these science fiction movies over and over again. And part of the use for homunculus was, according to the Taoist, in order to achieve immortality. So we have the same concept now, just taking a different shape. And the whole thing with cloning is, there are ethical laws that you have to follow when you're doing, you know, growing embryos and stuff in a lab setting. Well, recently in 2022, when I was, you know, doing all this stuff, they had just come out with a synthetic embryo. There's no laws against a synthetic embryo. Okay. And they literally call it a creature. Like they say they created a creature in a lab. I believe it was China or Israel. I think it was Israel. I don't know, all people.
You just heard today's guest who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with my friend Juan Ayala.
Of course, I didn't record it. But approve my request.
Did you record this time? Because last time I approved you, but you didn't record.
Yeah, no, I'm good now.
All right. What's up, folks? We're back. Juan and I, we just can't get enough of each other. Every time we get a chance to podcast, we podcast. So here we are back again. Me after quite a hiatus. But Juan, you were pretty active, at least last time I talked to you, you were on the Mystery Boys podcast. So what's going on, dude? How have you been? And are you excited about that coming out this week? Probably after this episode airs, the Mystery Boys show will come out.
Yeah, well, thanks to you, bro. Thanks for hooking it up and making it possible. And things kind of just lined up. And I guess, right, things happen when they're supposed to. And I know you had hit me up a few weeks ago and I couldn't. On Thursday nights, I do the show with Old World Florida where we get into various topics. We go live on YouTube. If you want to check that out, Old World Florida YouTube channel or the Juan Juan Podcast YouTube channel. We just go live and talk about various Florida juice, Giants, Garden of Eden, all that good stuff. But yeah, I did do the Mystery Boys with Duncan Trussell and Kurt Metzger, and it was a pretty wild ride. And like when you had texted me, I was like, hey, bro, I don't know how good of a guest. Cause I'm going to be honest, right? A lot of things I've forgotten. Life has gotten in the way. Sometimes when you don't exercise that muscle, But I guess once you have the mind palace already set, you can kind of dive in there. So what I ended up doing was I ended up grabbing the old trusty Occultus Mundi.
There you go.
The 88-page article that I've written about homunculus. And I guess Kurt has, weirdly enough, been obsessed with the Libra Vac. And it's funny because I was talking, I was texting Carwood. And he's like, yeah, I actually sent him some stuff that I found through another, I guess, professor friend of his or something. So Kurt's going deep on the homunculus rabbit hole. And when I brought out all the stuff, they were like, you know, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is, but it's something that's been written about, you know, through all of history. So there's, even if it is fake, bro, there's still something to the legend, right? Like any legend and any story you hear throughout history, there's always some truth to it, even if it is a ceremony of some sort or more of an occult ritual, if you will, right? Because the thing is, it's written down and there's somebody who's taken it at face value. And that's the problem. So, yeah, it was good, bro. I'm excited for it to come out and we'll see what people think about it. But yeah.
Now, with the homunculus, you know, it's like one of those things that even in occult circles, maybe aside from a few mentions, it really wasn't a known thought about type of concept up until very recently. You know, what do you think of, you know, this idea, you kind of focusing on it, putting a lot of research into it and helping others who wouldn't have done that work and put in that effort, sort of get a better understanding of these strange and what was, I mean, truly probably at the bottom of the pit as far as like esoteric ideas. Homunculus was down there in the depths. Like if you weren't Aleister Crowley or one of the people Aleister Crowley looked up to or one of these types of people, you didn't know about this kind of thing up until very recently. So I just am curious, like considering, you know, now, you know, people like Greg Carlwood, who have like a very popular big conspiracy podcast, obviously Kurt Metzger and Duncan Trussell, well-known comedians with their own, you know, series of popular podcasts. Like, do you think putting these ideas out there will somehow create homunculus? Like, because these kind of things are affected by consciousness, right? So how do you think like the collective consciousness receiving this idea is going to impact this sort of occult nature of this stuff? Do you think, you know, it's the kind of thing that can only work if it's a secret? Like, I know there's a certain, you know, you give up a magician's trick and now the trick doesn't work on anybody anymore, right? Like, you don't see people doing seances anymore. You know, like these things only last so long. Like, do you think the jig is up if we expose this and you know, bring it to the light?
In my opinion, obviously, it is going to have an effect on people because, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast and how it is. So, of course, people are going to take it and run with it. As far as exposing it, bro, I mean, think about it. Like, there's so much knowledge available to everyone nowadays, especially, right? Dude, like, there was a book I was translating 2 years ago, 3 years ago. When I jumped back in, somebody has already translated the whole thing. So it's like the technology keeps catching up and there's going to be less and less, quote unquote, occult things that are going to stay hidden in the shadows. And if anything, it'll just push for them to sort of morph it into something else. Right? Because we see it time and time again, bro, where people talk about the Super Bowl halftime show or whatever it is, you know, the next biggest thing, like the whatever is big in the news. Oh, that was a sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. The next rapper dies and that was a sacrifice. So I think that it'll just morph into something else as far as trying to stay hidden. And I think that there are still people who are practicing the occult behind closed doors, dude. And maybe it's not called the occult anymore. Maybe it's science now. Because if you look at alchemy, and the reason I started looking into all this stuff is because, again, I was fascinated with alchemy. Alchemy to me is like one of the most interesting things because it's like, what is it? And you don't really understand it I still don't understand it. And I don't think I will understand it until you actually dive into the work itself. And it was a secret society, bro. So a lot of the things that we talk about, they're secret societies who have initiates who are initiated into the arts, and they understand it better than anybody will. So me just standing from the sideline, yes, I can decipher some things from reading all these texts and everything, but I'm only going to learn so much because I'm not in it, right? I'm not in the actual weeds. I'm an armchair occultist. I don't practice any of this stuff. So I could be completely wrong, dude, when it comes to the homunculus, or I could be right. Who knows? But these guys were obviously trying to transmit some sort of knowledge and pass it. And it was occulted on purpose because a lot of the texts are found in old medical texts, bro. They were put in the shelves along other legitimate medical texts, and they would hide it in that way. And a lot of these copies, these earlier copies, they're all handwritten, because if you were caught with this sort of stuff, you'd probably be burned at the stake. And it's interesting because a lot of the people who practiced it and who talked about it were part of the church as well. I'm not saying that the church is 100% innocent in any of this stuff, right? I mean, if anybody's practicing the occult, it's the church with all their rituals and all their seances and everything that they do. Maybe not put in that way, but you get what I'm saying. It's a mystical sort of thing. It's an experience that they're doing, and they're inviting other people in that experience as well. So again, I think that the regular people, dude, don't care 100%, but there's going to be that one guy who's trying to do it for real. And he's going to be like, no, I understand the homunculus for real. These guys are all fake and gay. They don't know what they're talking about. But yeah, no, it's,
you had a real close podcast friend who was trying to do something similar. Remember the character that was showing people his lab on podcasts? You remember that guy, your old buddy?
My old buddy. Well, I think if I think I know who you're talking about, is some rando. It wasn't my friend, but some random.
I'm just teasing you. But on a more serious note, you know, what are some examples? You say, like, you know, the definition or what they're calling it might not be a cult. Maybe it's, you know, within the realms of science, in other words. Do you have any examples that come to mind of scientists who are working on projects that maybe blur these lines between, you know, what the public thinks of as the occult versus what they think of as science?
Oh, absolutely. So literally the day after or a couple of days after, I got a call from Narco Longo.
Okay.
And he goes, hey, bro, you got to check this out. You know, Brian Johnson? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, he just says he cloned himself, right? So check this out, bro. Let me share my screen here. Can you see this?
Yes.
So this is the article. Obviously, it came out 2 days ago. So today's Tuesday. This came out on the 26th, so Sunday. Okay. And it says, Brian Johnson says he's cloned himself as a, quote unquote, as a newborn, unquote, to, quote, grow organs for transplantation, unquote, which is a preposterous exaggeration. So maybe he is exaggerating a little bit, right? But for those that don't know, Brian Johnson is this vampire-looking guy who is trying. I think he founded Venmo, if I'm not mistaken. And he is a multi-millionaire, billionaire, I guess. I think he's got like 500 million or something like that. And he is known for trying to extend his life. He was even taking plasma from his son. And recently, as of last month, I believe, he was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. So it's interesting he's trying to live forever. But here's the thing, dude. He was born and raised, I want to say, Mormon. So let's double check all this. So he was born in Provo, Utah. He's 48 years old. 100% looks like a vampire. Okay. And he was born Mormon, but then it gets a little weird because he talks about wanting to be godlike. And this is where it gets interesting, because if you look it up and you go, hey, you know, Brian Johnson and the occult, oh, it doesn't come up with anything. But like how I mentioned earlier, what if science nowadays is the occult? Just how alchemy predated everything else. Alchemy predated chemistry. and alchemy eventually became chemistry. These were all the early fathers of chemistry were practicing alchemists. And, you know, Paracelsus, for example, you know, he created penicillin and like a whole bunch of other crazy things that we use till this day were created by these crazy men of the history of alchemy, right? That they were, even though they were into this crazy occult stuff, deep down inside, there was a practical aspect to it all. Now, what's the practical aspect of a homunculus? Well, you're looking at it right here. This guy talking about he cloned himself. Now, cloning, mind you, is illegal in most states. And I don't know about you, but if something that is not real, according to some, why would it be illegal if it's not real? Right? Like, what if, and think about this, take this into perspective. What if weapons of mass destruction this entire time has been this, instead of what we've been conditioned to think, like, oh, weapons of, it's nuclear weapons. Well, I mean, is it? Right? Like, what is even that? Is it the secret black budget programs that are running behind the scenes that nobody knows about that 100% are happening? Because it's got to be real. I mean, the amount of money that the military industrial complex takes on every single year, every single day, like look at NASA and all these other places, even if you believe in space or not, they're using the money for something, obviously. You know, what is it? What is it going towards? So this guy here, let's read this real quick. So zillionaire, eccentric Brian Johnson, fresh off of being diagnosed with an incurable disease, says he just, quote, cloned himself, unquote, himself as a newborn. The immortality influencer shared in an X update that he has a baby version of himself growing in a petri dish that he says will allow him to become his own blood boy. Doesn't he already have a son who does that for him, says the article, and potentially even grow organs for transplantation. This is not science fiction anymore, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what movies are made out of. This is what we see in these science fiction movies over and over again. Of and part of the use for homunculus was, according to the Taoists, in order to achieve immortality. So we have the same concept now, just taking a different shape. And the whole thing with cloning is, there are ethical laws that you have to follow when you're doing, you know, growing embryos and stuff in a lab setting. Well, recently in 2022, when I was, you know, doing all this stuff, they had just come out with a synthetic embryo. There's no laws against a synthetic embryo. Okay. And they literally call it a creature. Like they say they created a creature in a lab. I believe it was China or Israel. I think it was Israel out of all people. And so go off the question you asked before, I think it's the same thing, dude. It's just changing shape and they're doing it in front of you. Because anyone reads this headline, oh, that's preposterous. He can't clone himself. Little do they know, we have literature supporting alchemists doing this freaking 400, 500 years ago, right? So it's like, are they just out in the open? So it goes on to say, this may be scary to some people, a dystopian future, Johnson wrote. But for others, they will see it as an inevitable future of health. Isn't this part of like also the whole adrenochrome kind of sort of fits into that? The adrenochrome where they're taking the blood of children and they're injecting it into themselves to grow, you know, to not grow old. I mean, this is over and over again. In the movie Avatar, I don't know if you've seen the latest one, the one before that, where they're harvesting essentially adrenochrome from these whale creatures in the part of in their universe or their planet, whatever it is, where it's sold on Earth for a crazy amount of money because it has anti-aging properties to it. So again, Avatar, another movie about what? About taking your consciousness and transferring it over to an alien hybrid that was grown in a lab, by the way. In Avatar, they're grown in labs. And they're bioengineered. Here we have this guy doing it in real life. And who knows if, again, he's definitely in those circles. So I wouldn't doubt it if he has access to some of the more, you know, the whole thing was the alchemist was willing to do whatever it took, right? David Pingree writes about the Liber Vacae as it being the most demonic book there is, because in order for somebody to do such a thing, they need, there's no other answer that other than that they're possessed by a sort of demon, right? Mm. The mad scientist comes from that. The Faustian pact comes from that concept of you're possessed by something that drives you to that brink of doing something so heinous. And yeah. Think about this guy, bro. This guy, where do we draw the line? If this guy is truly growing a baby version of himself, let's say he brings it to term and he wants to do all this heinous, think about it, all this heinous stuff to it. Is that a person? You know, let's say that they grow it in a cow womb or something out of the ordinary. Does it have a consciousness? Is it a person? Does it have rights? Does it have a social security number? Who's overseeing any of this stuff? And I think this has already been done, bro, to be 100% with you. I think that someone has already done this. And I think that it's part of the black budget stuff, or somebody well-connected that's, you know, that can work in a lab setting that has all the resources, that might be just some employee, dude. Like, hey, you know, those embryos we were supposed to toss out 14 days ago, well, I kept one. It was born. You know, who's keeping track of that?
Yeah.
So... Let me finish this article. In case this is all starting to sound like a grim sci-fi plot of a certain Michael Bay movie, or Kazuo Ishiguro novel. Who the hell is that? We have to look this guy up. So put this here. It's not a literal living, breathing clone. Okay, they say that now. Although by posting an infamous picture of himself edited to look like a baby, Johnson's certainly playing into that impression. Maybe he is. Like, maybe he is trying, and this guy's trying to live forever. He is probably trying to quite literally create a baby version of himself. Instead, Johnson created his own pluripotent stem cells. These stem cells can self-renew and develop into any type of cell in the body, making them invaluable for repairing damaged tissue. This sounds a lot like, have you seen the computer microchips that are made out of brain cells that are tortured to death?
No.
You haven't seen that, dude?
No, what the heck is that about?
Oh. Spelled ship. So chip. So the let me find it. So there is a, here we go. This is old news, dude. So they actually made it play Doom. So they're making these computers that are using, find it, that are using brain cells. And I mean, it is exactly what you think it is. It's like literally brain cells, and they are worked to death. Essentially, they're tortured to death. So Melbourne start, this is from March 4th, 2025. Melbourne startup launches a biological computer made of human brain cells. And so on a warm Melbourne day, et cetera, et cetera, while the neurons were too small to see with the naked eye, Brett Kagan, the chief science officer of startup Cortical Labs, pointed to a large monitor showing ECG-like spikes. These spikes demonstrated healthy brain cells were responding to inputs from a nearby computer. Put simply, the neurons were learning. So this particular guy, Cortical Labs, which I've been on their website before, it's changed quite a bit, okay? They're essentially trying to make like a real-life cloud based off of using neurons, okay? And the thing is that they're killed in the process of trying to computate information. So they want to use it. So think about this, dude. They want to use, check this out, actual intelligence. So think about it. Same to how the homunculus was used for the extraction of information. Nowadays, we have AI, which a lot of people are familiar with, that they tap into to pull information out. Like, I used AI today to read a document, right? Give me the cliff notes. I ask it questions about the document. It's a good tool to have. The thing is, when people get lost in the sauce. So this guy, instead of artificial, no, what if we took actual brain cells and neurons and slapped it on a computer chip and made it think for us? What then? Brother, what? Like, what are you saying? So join the new era of computing and deploy your technology directly to real neurons locally on the CL1 or distributed on the cortical cloud. Okay. So you could buy a subscription to get in, to get computational power from tortured brain cells. That can't be good, bro. So silicon meets neuron. Our technology merges biology with traditional computing to create the ultimate learning machine, creating what others only imagined, the world's first code deployable biological computer. Yikes. Real neurons are grown directly on our custom chips, creating an intelligence that learns intuitively with remarkable efficiency. Unlike traditional AI, our neural systems require minimal energy and training data to master complex tasks. This isn't just a new computer. It's computing reimagined. So, yeah, bro. They're using actual biological computer. And this is old, dude. I did a short on this a while back. And look at this. In 2021, we grew real neurons on a chip and they taught themselves how to play Pong. Are they sentient? Are they,
and they're
like,
probably bored as hell.
And they're bored as hell. So the neurons were linked to a computer and gradually learned to sense the position of the game's electronic ball and control virtual paddle. And they recently made it play Doom. So
how far away, like they advertise it as like, oh yeah, we're using, you know, actual intelligence. How far away are they from putting a person who's living and hooking them up to these, you know, this same sort of technology, but outfitted to, you know, work with a human being? You know, next thing you know, you have mind slaves. You have people who are, you know, enslaved mentally. And probably in the beginning, it'll be like, oh yeah, we're going to do it with people who are disabled so that they can, you know, be in this virtual world. Meanwhile, they're actually like giving computing power over to, you know, this Orwellian corporation somehow, right? Like, I mean, think about it. There's people out there who are non-communicative. How would they ever communicate if this was painful or, you know, distressing? I mean, maybe there's a way, but I think that's kind of the dark sci-fi angle to this, is like they're creeping towards this reality of,
bro, it's the Matrix.
Yeah, the Matrix sort of technology, that at least the visual of a person hooked up to some sort of machine and then augmented their reality in some way. Or maybe they're just, you know, brain dead and they're going to tell us this whole bullshit about, oh, well, you'll be dreaming. Meanwhile, maybe you dream for a couple hours and then your body just goes into vegetable. You know, like, how do we know? How would you communicate that when you left the machine? Like, what would, you know, would you remember? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Or, hey, maybe we're in a machine now, right?
That's ever, conversation for a while now.
That is a thought experiment. So one of this thought experiment that even René Descartes talked about, the evil demon. So the brain in a vat jar, so the demon thought experiment, is philosophers and scientists occasionally imagine entities with special abilities as a way to pose a thought experiment or highlight. The word demon here does not necessarily connote a demon, a malevolent being. For instance, James Clerk Maxwell came up with his thought experiment of a finite being manipulating entropy microscopically to highlight the implications of the statistical interpretation of thermodynamics. And so it's called Maxwell's Demon, and is a thought experiment that appears to disprove the second law of thermodynamics. And it's interesting because who talked about like an evil demon controlling reality? The Gnostics talked about this, and various other religions also talked about some sort of deity or demiurge controlling reality. So again, the ancients were on to these thoughts already. They thought about it as being a possibility. So here, the evil demon, so the Cartesian skepticism, also called the methodological skepticism, advocates the doubting of all things that cannot be justified through logic. René Descartes uses three arguments to cast doubt on our ability to know objectively: the dream argument, the deceiving God argument, and the malicious demon argument. since our senses cannot be, put us in contact with external objects themselves, but only with our mental images of such objects. We can have no absolute certainty that anything exists in the external world. So pretty much, what are you actually sensing? And that was the whole, like, you know, think about it. I think, therefore I am. Like that was like part of that argument as well. It's like, well, the only thing I know is that I am a living thing, right? That I'm here. So I think, therefore I am. In the evil demon argument, Descartes proposes an entity who is capable of deceiving us into such a degree that we have reason to doubt the totality of what our senses tell us. So pretty much, hey, there is some sort of demiurge figure deceiving you, and your entire reality is fake, right? It's not real. And so Laplace's demon, hypothetical all-knowing being who knows the precise location and momentum of every atom in the universe and therefore could use Newton's laws to reveal the entire course of cosmic events, past and future. I mean, that sounds like a god, right? That is God. Pierre Simon Laplace based the demon on the philosophical proposition of causal determinism, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a bunch of different types of demons that these philosophers and scientists came up with.
Are they going off the idea that these are like sort of like Solomon's temple?
No.
Kind of demons where, well, like, I know that's not the direct.
Who knows, right?
They have. But like, if you read like a grimoire, each demon has like a sort of an ability or a power, if you will, like Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So is this kind of like them being like, well, this thing is a thing with a life of its own? Like, why? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking out loud here, but is there a history of why they started referring to these ideas as demons?
I think they call it a demon more of like its own entity sort of thing, not so much like a demon from
experiment that can be, you know, other people can be tormented by it equally.
No, so daemons in Greek mythology, supernatural beings as unseen forces of nature. So it's more of like an unseen force sort of thing. And check this one out. So in Aphorisms 341, The Gay Science, Nietzsche puts forth his eternal recurrence concept. In it, he employs a demon with special metaphysical knowledge as an agent for forcing reevaluation of perspective on one's own life. So yeah, this eternal recurrence thing was like, again, like a samsara where everything is just, everything is pretty much a CD, right? And it just goes round and round and on an infinite loop. Yeah. So even he was talking about this. And check this one out. Cyril's homunculus-like being that reproduces intentional behavior in someone's brain without neither the person nor the organism being intentional in themselves. It was conceptualized by philosopher of mind John Hughlin in criticizing John Searle's theory of biological naturalism. And this is not the first time I've seen something like this, because we do have a homunculus. We all have a homunculus in our brains. And it's interesting because the homunculus in the brain, whenever we see the cortical homunculus, right? Speaking of cortical labs, the cortical homunculus, whenever we see this thing that looks very interesting. And this is supposed to show which parts of your body your brain mostly interacts with. So your hands being your sensory, right? You touch and move things with you manipulate your reality with your hands. You speak, make noises, tongue, et cetera, et cetera. So it's meant to show that. The interesting part about this is that you see this particular thing, it's like a humanoid. Yeah. According to scientists, what we would actually, the way our brain sees our body would actually be a monstrosity. So it would look nothing like this. It'd be like a blob, like a Lovecraftian sort of just entity. Just, I don't know if you can just imagine. I don't know if you've seen Nick Cage's Color Out of Space, the Lovecraftian movie.
No.
You haven't seen? Okay. Well, anyways, just think of like a mass of just a blob of a person. That's what our brain interprets our body like. So
right. Based on our nervous system, though.
Exactly. Based on our nervous system. So, and it's interesting because this Cyril's demon, or Cyril's, however you say it.
Cyril.
Cyril, is very similar to the manga Homunculus, which I read it. I did a whole presentation on it that I never put out. But I subjected myself to the torture of reading this particular, and it's very dark, like super, super dark, very dark. And Netflix came out with a movie on it that does
Peter
it.
Pans himself in the movie with a screwdriver, a screw gun.
Yeah. Yeah. So trepanation is a way. So he was able to see the homunculus. So the homunculus in this manga are, again, very similar to what Sorel's demon is talking about, where these homunculus-like beings attach themselves to people. Hmm. And that's where they get their certain behaviors from. So sexual behaviors, fetishes, and things of that nature. Like, any dark aspect of a human is actually a homunculus. And he was able to see them by, again, trepanation, which trepanation has been around for a long time. And essentially, it's making a hole in your skull. And some people believe that by you airing out your brain and giving it a chance to, quote unquote, breathe and get more oxygen, how some people believe, you're able to acquire clairvoyance and sort of supernatural abilities. And in this particular manga, he does trepanation on himself, and he's able to cover one eye and see the homunculi on the people. But he's able to help people with their inner, you know, how some people say, oh, your inner demons. He's able to help people with his demon, with their demons, at the cost of them attaching to him. So he's helping all these people and seeing all these things on other people and helping them out, but then they attach themselves to him.
Yeah.
I mean, they start affecting, you know, him.
That's kind of like basic shamanism 101. Like,
yeah.
You don't go and do this sort of work unless you know how to banish these spirits or put them at rest. Like, a real shaman has to do, you know, decades of work to do all that kind of training before he's able to, you know, take on actual healing work. That's why there's a big problem with people in the psychedelic community who, you know, go and see these quote unquote shamans who are just, you know, shamming it. And it's a shame, because I don't know, I've met some people who, and not necessarily through the podcast, but just in person, who, you know, they'll be like talking about their psychedelic drug experiences. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, this person does not, you know, not from a judgmental way, but from like a place of like self-awareness. Like, I don't know if you've ever been around someone who is just no self-awareness, but it feels like that is a common trait I've noticed, where people have like very low standard of, you know, how they treat other people. And then they go and talk about psychedelics, you know, and how they've been healed and yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they're not exactly exemplary characters themselves. So anyways, yeah, all that to say, that manga seems pretty accurate. I don't mean to say manga like Trump, but
manga.
The manga. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors, everybody on Patreon, all the great people who just signed up. Thank you for doing so. You get every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free and interruption-free. And you keep supporting the show, so I keep up with the show. And yeah, I haven't been putting out as many episodes lately. So if you sign up on Patreon, that sure as heck is going to give me an incentive. But I'm working on stuff. We've got a lot going on, and I've got some new episode ideas planned. So don't you worry at all. Now, big shout out to everybody on Patreon, but we also have to give a shout out to our number one sponsor, Vibe Med X. That's right, Vibe Med X, your supplier of She Legit. Stay legit with She Legit. She Legit is an all-encompassing immune support supplement, okay? It takes exactly what your body needs and gives it some backup to take on whatever's ailing you. That's right, it's an adaptogen, which means your body adapts it to whatever it is currently working on. Look at that. How helpful She Legit can be. So be helpful to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, and be helpful to your body. Use the promo code CRAZY when you take your first order of She Legit home today.
Place your order at vibemedx.com. That's V-I-B-E-M-E-D-X.com. And use the promo code CRAZY. Now let's get back to the show right after these dynamic ads. Remember, sign up on Substack, myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack, or Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC to get every episode of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free and interruption-free. Hey folks, it's me, the host of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. That's right, Mystic Mark, telling you about meat brought to you by Omaha Steaks. You've heard of them before, Omaha Steaks. Well, listen up. Omaha Steaks is raising the stakes and upping the quality because not every steak is good enough to be an Omaha Steak. They're looking for consistency. Hand-selected master butchers, okay? And they know what they're doing. They've been doing it for over 100 years. Their 110th anniversary is coming up next year. Yeah, that's right. Five generations of meat people. These people know meat. And they've got the grass-fed. They've got the triple trim. They've got the Wagyu, okay? Chateaubriand, filet mignon, all right? Listen, if you're eating meat, they're cutting it and they're sending it to you straight to your door. And with the promo code BEEF, you're going to save now with Omaha Steaks. You've heard of them before. They've been around, folks. But little did you know that Omaha Steaks is raising the stakes right here with the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Use the promo code BEEF right now and man up or lady up. And get some beef or chicken, air-chilled chicken, delivered straight to your door, okay? No funny business, no nonsense. Don't ever buy meat off the back of a truck in a parking lot ever again. No, no, no. The real connoisseurs of meat go to Omaha Steak. Use the promo code BEEF at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code BEEF at checkout. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF.
It was a hard read. I mean, it was because it gets super dark. I mean, I'm just scratching the surface because this guy goes through like a whole crisis. And I mean, look, it's 15 freaking things. And I read all of them. I mean,
Japanese.
Do what?
Did you have to learn Japanese?
No, dude, you can find them in English.
Great.
Okay, you see, it's in English here. So again, there's plot twists and all that stuff. And again, it's very dark. So if you're going to read them, just keep that in mind. And he essentially, I don't want to spoil the ending, but anyways, yeah, the movie doesn't do it justice as far as the actual depth and the character development that goes over through all the mangas. You know, like a movie is kind of rushed, so you don't really get to understand him. And in the manga, they just take forever just to develop the character as to like why he is the way he is a little bit more. And but yeah, back to our reality maybe isn't what we think it is, right? The brain in a vat jar where there is this evil scientist that has hooked up a brain to to some sort of electrode and is simulating reality to that brain. And I mean, another one of my favorite thought experiments is Boltzmann's brain, where this guy theorized that in the vacuum of space for maybe just 1 second, if these cells could come together to spontaneously form a brain of some sort that lived an entire existence for a split second and then just dissolve back into the vacuum of space, if you believe in space or not, whatever space is that a person? Is that you experiencing your life as you know it, as just a flash, even for a fraction of a second, of this brain that just came together and formed in nothingness and then just dissolved back out of existence? So that goes so hard of like, whoa. And you can see where the Matrix defense is an actual case that happened, because some people are so, there are sick people, right, that are disconnected from reality. And that, even just that idea alone, could trigger somebody, right? Like how Burroughs talked about, that was this guy's name, William Burroughs, right? William S. Burroughs. He came up with this idea that, because he talks a lot about language being a virus and words and all these different things sort of jumping from one language to another, and how one language piggybacks off the other. And if you think about that, like Spanish, for example, when the Spaniards came, or even the French came to conquer, they were teaching those people that language. So that language, again, as a virus, infected everybody and took over. So Spanish, if you think about the Spanish, it's an evolution, obviously, of old Spanish and everything else come together. But down the line, it started with somebody conquering and killing off masses of people in order to spread their message and their religion and all these other things, right? And they essentially wiped out people. So language is some sort of, he calls it a virus from outer space. And William Burroughs talks about this concept where there is a string of words that you could tell somebody that would completely annihilate their existence. There is a string of words that I could say to Mark Palmer that would completely destroy him and completely just make you go insane. Now, what is that? I don't know, but I'm sure I could say something to you to hurt your feelings or make you upset, right? I'm with my words, I'm manipulating your reality, essentially. And he talks, and that concept always stuck with me, like, what if you just like whispered in someone's ear the correct words to just drive them insane, right? Like the correct amount of words or sounds or whatever it is to drive them. And that's what I've always respected about like salesmen, bro. Like people who can make you buy something even though you don't want to buy it, because they're so good at speaking to you about it. So they're essentially manipulating you, using, again, either reverse psychology or something psychologically. They're just affecting you. So like, you know what? I'm actually going to buy that. Yeah.
You know, I take umbrage with the way you're talking about it, considering I've been mainly working as a salesman doing all these markets and stuff. And there is something to it. I'll tell you what, like, I wouldn't really know how to nail it down, whether it's personality or just putting someone in a situation where they feel pressured to do something that they might not have. But when it comes to like buying something, I can tell when somebody walks in my booth just based on their body language, whether they're going to spend money or not and what product they might buy. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But then there's a couple steps I would take to push them into the right direction, you know, giving them, the sort of general positive experience that they might be expecting. And then also figuring out a price that they're willing to pay. You know, that's all happening within seconds sometimes. So Yeah, there's definitely psychology to it. I don't know that it's necessarily always bad. It just depends on what you're selling, I guess.
Yeah, of course, right? The what's that saying with the sword? You know, you get what I'm saying.
It's mightier, it's all good. Some pen is mightier than the sword.
No, it's related to the spear of destiny. Like in, you know, depending on which hands the weapon is in, you could use it for good or for evil.
If you're selling used cars that, you know, are going to break down within a couple months, you're probably a pretty shitty salesman and in the sense that you're a jerk, but you probably have to be pretty good at being a salesman in order to get those crappy cars or just a good liar off the lot, right? So
check out this thought experiment, bro. So Swamp Man is the subject of a thought experiment introduced by Davidson in his 1987 paper, Knowing One's Own Mind. In the experiment, Davidson is struck by lightning in a swamp and disintegrated. But at the same exact moment, an identical copy of Davidson, the Swamp Man, is made from a nearby tree and proceeds through life exactly as Davidson would have, indistinguishable from him. The experiment is used by Davidson to claim that thought and meaning cannot exist in a vacuum. They are dependent on their interconnections to the world. Therefore, despite being physically identical to himself, Davidson states that the Swamp Man does not have thoughts nor meaningful language, as it has no casual history to base them on. Whoa, dude. That's kind of creepy, right? Like, that's why, what's the one thing where, how do you know you wake up as the same person that went back to sleep? Yeah. Or like the skinwalker, right? It looks and talks like the person, you know, but it's not really them. And it's some sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's anyways, back to the cortical labs. So cortical, right? They call it wetware. Now, look at one of the founders, Hong Weng Chong.
And Andy Kitchen seems like a fake name. Mm-hmm. Anyone named Andy Kitchen, who's his grandfather?
Yeah, we don't know. This Hong Weng Chong is probably one of their computers sitting on one of their shelves right now. Like, hey, this is our CEO. That is running the entire company. It's just some sort of tentacle monster or something. So the company gained recognition in 2022 with the release of an academic paper describing Dish Brain, a collection of human neurons that were taught to play Pong. The company later released their first commercial product, the CL1, a biological computer in 2025. So this is recent, bro. This is recent. So, and I have the, I'm going to find the commercial here real quick. What was it called? Cortical Labs commercial. And this is where you see that it's playing Pong. So the company hopes that their technology can be a competition to traditional AI due to lower energy. So, hey, the good thing is we're torturing brain cells to death. Okay. That's just, don't worry about that part. But hey, we're consuming less energy. And this is something that they're going to sell a lot of people on because the ethics aside, because right now the whole thing that people have a big problem with is data centers, where they're using and they're constructing these massive data centers that are using up all the water and using up all the energy and blah, blah, blah. And Bitcoin mining was using up so much energy. It's like, let's find the next efficient thing. And it's like, hey, we have the answer. You're not going to like it, but it works. And I think some people would be sold on that alone. Because right now, how do we know right now that ChatGPT isn't some, you know, AI, artificial Indian, is some Indian dude on the other end just like typing away?
I'm telling you, dude.
Or it's some sort of, again, one of these dish brains on the other end just screaming, just put me out of my misery. Right? Yeah. It's just like, hey, can you break down a diet plan for me, ChatGPT? And it's just some dish brain on the other end just screaming in agony, just giving you the information you want to know. But hey, it consumes less energy.
Well, and you have to wonder, like, you know, the same way someone who has their one of their limbs amputated and they have like a ghost limb, do the cells you know, have a sort of ghost effect on the person who they came from. I mean, I can't imagine they're getting brain cells. Where are they getting these brain cells from?
They're growing them. So the ethics, Cortical Labs has faced many ethical questions regarding whether the organoid brains are or will become conscious. While Dish Brain is described as sentient in the original paper, this only refers to the way it can react to its environment. Hey, don't worry about it. It's just the way it's, you know, you see the way that fish is twitching after it's dead. That's just the salt that you're putting, you know, like, don't worry about it. Not its capability for feelings or sensations, as the term is commonly used. We got to change the definition. Sentient doesn't mean what you thought it meant. It just means, you know, the way you interact with your environment. However, some have stated that its ability to react to its environment may mean that it is capable of suffering, and therefore moral limits on how they can be used should be put in place. Both Chong and Kagan state that Cortical Labs is working closely with bioethics in order to ensure the organoids will not become conscious. Hey, rest assured, your little cortical computer is not going to become sentient. We promise. Just trust us. Labs purchasing the CL1 are also required to meet ethical standards, including having ethical approval for generating cell lines. Whoa. Okay, that is that's pretty, you know, if something, why put all these laws and rules into place if you don't really have to worry about it, right? And bioethics, this is stuff that the alchemists of old were doing, bro. They were there was a particular Arnold Villanova where he would create a homunculus, according to, and this was a church father, a church doctor. He would create homunculi, and as soon as he would create them, he would smash the glass vial. And they would ask, hey, what are you doing? He goes, no. The issue is, I don't know if God was going to put a demon in there or if it was going to capture a consciousness of some sort. So I destroy it before I get to that point. So even the alchemists understood this concept, bro. Of like, hey, God didn't create this homunculus. I did. So what's going to inhabit it once it becomes, quote unquote, conscious?
Yeah. Well, it's like sympathetic magic. You know, you take a voodoo doll or something that represents parts of something and use it to, you know, embody this spirit that helps you with whatever magical task. I mean, how far is that from something like that? Or even, you know, possession, right? Like, it's just very strange. So now they're playing the game Doom, these cells, brain cells.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're playing Doom. So the internet media, that's the only question that matters.
Long and Doom. You know, when I have kids one day, I don't know about you, Juan, you're a father, but when I have kids one day, I'm going to want my kids to be raised on Pong and Doom only. That's what I'll educate them with. See how that turns out.
Here you are. Look, dude, you can buy one of these, just put it next to your computer and you're tapped into the cloud. You know, you got a couple human brain cells in there, if they are human or not, or chimeras, whatever you want to call them. You can even name it if you want. But here they are. Look how cute. And it'll compute all the information you want.
So it's like more than AI. It's actual intelligence that you can utilize in your home. Because
yeah, dude.
In this day and age, what we're all lacking the most is actual intelligence.
Look at that. It's learning. So as it's playing that, it's learning. So essentially, I mean, dude, think about that. That's if you're a learning organism, is that not conscious or
right? Right.
I mean,
so you're going to have a little guy there to play your video games with you and do sort of things like that. Is that the idea here?
Your own little personal homunculus.
Yeah. But like to do what?
Oh, compute. So so essentially how, you know, when you're mining, the way I understood it, when you're mining Bitcoin, right? You tap into a pool, and a pool is a whole bunch of other people with miners that are coming together to use their computational power and their GPUs to calculate, to solve the algorithm in order for everyone to get a Bitcoin. So you solve the algorithm. So essentially the way this works is you're tapping into a cloud. So I don't know if, you know, anybody listening plays like, there's services you can pay for nowadays where, NVIDIA, So there's cloud gaming where essentially you're using a GPU on somewhere and it's computing for you the game that you want to play. So you don't have the actual hardware yourself in your house. You're tapping into a sort of portal to be able to use their hardware. Okay. So yeah, let me find this here. So right here, so GeForce Now, this is one of the ones that I know people use where you can just pay for a membership and you can play any game you want because you're using a GPU sitting somewhere that's being pretty much leased out to you and you're able to tap into it. So the way that the Cortical Labs is using computational power, essentially. So yeah, let's read a little bit more about it. Research team funded Cortical Labs later published a paper in Neuron describing the development of DishBrain, a collection of neurons grown in vitro that interacts with various electrodes in order to play Pong. DishBrain was made up of roughly 800,000 human neurons grown from stem cells. So they're coming from a real human neuron, but then they take the stem cells and they grow more. So they're able to reproduce them. But essentially, the original one has to be human. Whose is it? Whose neuron is the original one? Who's neuron zero? These neurons were then attached to electrodes, which relayed information about the position of the paddles and the ball in the game. The neuron cultures were trained in accordance with the free energy principle, a theory that suggests the brain seeks to reduce uncertainty. Thus, to train DishBrain, mistakes, missing the ball, cause random stimulus and successes. Hitting the ball caused ordered stimulus. So if they made a mistake, they would pretty much shock it to know not to do that. Hey, don't do that. So we're going to hurt you. And then when you start doing the right thing, we're going to go ahead and hit you with the with endorphins, or I don't know. Along with cultures of human neurons, the research also grew mouse neurons and compared results between the two species. It was shown that the human cells achieve longer rally lengths in the same amount of training time compared to the mouse cells, of course. The CL1, the Cortical Lab's first commercial product, was announced in March 2025 at a price of $35,000. That's not that bad. $35,000. The CL1 was shipped out in the summer of the same year. The CL1 is the world's first code-deployed biological computer, with buyers being able to deploy code directly to the neurons. Similar to DishBrain, the CL1 is made up of roughly 800,000 human neurons placed on a grid of 59 electrodes serving as inputs, along with life support systems to provide the cells with nutrients. We got to make sure to feed your computer or it's going to die. The neurons are derived from the pluripotent stem cells. So similar to what our boy Brian Johnson was also doing. They talked about the pluripotent stem cells created from skin or blood cells donated by volunteers. So this is what you should... Oh, look at this! Including Chong himself! Whoa. What did I say earlier? 100% CL10 is Chong. Chong is not a real person. Chong is some...
Hang on, Chong.
Because Pong and Chong rhyme.
Yeah, it's a little computer program. It comes out, you click the button, it goes, Huang Wang Chong.
These neurons were advertised as lasting up to 6 months. However, Kagan claims that some cells were successfully maintained for up to a year. A 30-unit rack consumes 850 to 1,000 watts, far less than traditional AI data centers. The CL1 also cut latency to less than a millisecond compared to 5-millisecond latency of DishBrain. Along with the CL1, the Cortical Cloud was released as a cloud-based wetware service model that allowed scientists access to in-house cultures for a price of $300 a week. The cells can be programmed using Python. The API was used by independent researcher Sean Cole to teach roughly 200,000 cortical cells to play Freedom, a copyright-free game produced in the Doom engine in a week with no previous experience with Neuron. So you can essentially use it to deploy programs, just how you use it, just how your computer right now works with commands and different things. You can essentially use it as a sort of, you could use it as an operating system if you wanted to, and again, to run data. That's the trippiest thing, bro.
Yeah,
it's the trippiest thing ever. But it's real. Okay? It's real. And let's Google this guy. I swear, if I see a brain in a vat jar for this guy, this is Google. Yeah, let's look this guy up.
All right. Instagram.
Oh, there he is. That's an AI generated picture, 100%. That is not a real person.
My God.
That is not a real person. I'm gonna tell you right now. That is an AI generated thumbnail. It's
pretty dubious.
He went to where? Like, he went to John Hopkins School of Medicine.
If you're looking to connect to sell me an unsolicited product service, please don't. That's his bio.
Sounds like something an AI would say, huh?
Sounds like, yeah, someone, sounds like when someone puts a no trespassing sign on their abandoned home.
So this guy, look at this, rent a brain for $300 a week, bro. And you know, the funniest thing is that when people go to donate
brain
plasma,
for rent, is that it?
Yeah, rent a brain for $300 a week. That's how they're pitching it. And the thing is, you know, when people go and donate blood, they think that they're going for a good cause. Yeah. Right? You're gonna get your movie tickets. You're gonna get a snack for free. You're doing a good thing.
It's $60 for movie tickets nowadays. Please, you can need to donate blood for 3 months to get a movie ticket nowadays. But sorry, go ahead.
My city was giving you basketball tickets to go. They were on the nosebleeds, but they were giving, you know, basketball tickets nonetheless.
Yeah.
And it's like people are going to try and do a good thing. Like, hey, I'm helping somebody. I'm saving somebody by doing this. Little do they know, the company's actually buying their plasma and their blood to freaking make brain neuron chips or guys like this. Because they got to be sourcing it from somewhere. Right, the original OG cells, like they can't just. That's the craziest thing. So let's see here, the what do they call it? Pluripotent stem cells. Let's see here. So a pluripotent stem cell is a stem cell that has potential to differentiate into any of the cells of the three germ layers, endoderm. So it can essentially be used for whatever application you're looking for. Okay, so. Artificially derived from non-pluripotent cells, typically an adult somatic cell. So somatic cells, a biological cell forming the body of a multicellular organism other than a... Okay, I'm not a scientist, so... from what I understand is these are more flexible than regular cells and they can be used in any application, which is what this guy was talking about here. Created his own pluripotent stem cells. These are stem cells that can self-renew and develop into any type of cell in the body, making them invaluable for repairing damaged tissue. Where Johnson's claims of cloning himself as a newborn come is in the fact that these highly versatile stem cells normally only exist when we're still an embryo. Huh. Yikes. That's kind of bad if you think about it, because then what are the baby... So now they're baby computer chips. They're baby computer chips, right? Because they only exist when we're still an embryo. But in recent decades, scientists have developed techniques to reprogram regular... Okay, never mind. All right, they're not baby cells anymore. Regular adult cells into an embryonic pluripotent state, which are called induced pluripotent stem cells. That can't be good. You're messing with biology. And again, the... whole point of alchemy and the whole point of the occult is to de-occult the hidden aspects of nature. Okay. So that's why they called it natural magic. Magia natural is because they believed it was natural in nature. So therefore, if I mix A plus B and get C, God wouldn't have put that in nature if he didn't want me to do what I just did. So it's natural magic because it's not using any sort of demonic influences or astrological influences upon what I'm doing. And that was the whole, you know, thing behind alchemy, where they were, it's the manipulation of matter to get end result, right? So it's the manipulation of matter to acquire the philosopher's stone, right? But the thing about the, you know, the secret that people don't know is that when you create the philosopher's stone, according to Falconelli and some of these guys, the light from that reaction of you achieving the magnum opus transforms your DNA and you turn into a sort of light being essentially and dissolve out of reality. So conveniently, all the guys that have solved the Philosopher's Stone always disappear and you never hear from them again. They're seen throughout history. Nicholas Flamel, Falconelli, and all these guys, they're seen throughout history here and there because they're immortal, right? Because they're able to transcend reality and go into essentially the back rooms of reality and interact with whatever's back there to affect reality in our, what we call reality. So yeah, dude, this is crazy. So Johnson is confident that by having his own store of stem cells on hand, he can, quote, rebuild his body, unquote, repairing everything from damaged lungs to eyesight. This technology gives us a path to reverse aging, he declares. His optimism is admirable, but many of these stem cell applications he's touting haven't been proven yet. Johnson claims his baby clone will let him grow organs, for example, but scientists still haven't developed a reliable technique for creating organs derived from someone's own stem cells. Sure. One promising technique involves growing an organ in the body of another animal, like a pig, therefore transplanting it into a human. But these attempts have stopped when the organ was still, in an embryo and no transplantation has been attempted. Sure. Okay. Whatever. An alternate that doesn't involve stem cells, xenotransplantation, harvests organs from a genetically modified animal, pig. And it's interesting because it's a pig, right? Because they say pigs are us in a different evolution or what humans turn into. But has only been demonstrated in human recipients who were brain dead, with the transplanted organ slowly rejected over the course of several days. That is dark, bro. They're just taking cadavers or someone who's brain dead and trying to see what happens if they freaking take an organ that was grown in a pig to see if they take it. That's wild, bro.
That's kind of what I was alluding to before. And yeah, it is. It's crazy.
It's the craziest thing. So this Kazuo Ishiguro was this guy. They talked about his stories. He's a fiction writer. Let's see what he's well known for. Japanese British novelist, screenwriter, musician, and short story writer. He's one of the most critically acclaimed contemporary fiction authors writing in English, having been awarded several major. It is a citation, the Swedish Academy, as a writer who, in novels of great emotional force, has uncovered the abyss beneath our illusionary sense of connection with the world. Never heard of this guy before. Have you, bro?
No.
Interesting. He was born in Nagasaki. When did they drop the bomb on Nagasaki? That was in 19...
It was before 1954.
Right?
I think it was in 47.
Before, I want to see, yeah.
Yeah.
He was born in Nagasaki. Trying to see which is like his best book. And what is about best book? The Remain of the Day. So follow in this 1956 post-war English story follows an aging butler named Stevens who reflects on his service and repressed love on a road. Doesn't seem very science fiction-y like. Never Let Me Go, a haunting, quiet, dystopian tragedy set in a mysterious English boarding school focusing on three friends coming to terms with their predetermined grim fate. See, that's better. I like that better. And then Clara and the Sun, 2021. Told the perspective of an artificial intelligence robot observing human nature and loneliness. This guy's writing about all this stuff. Let's see here. Oh, look, there's a movie coming out about it. October 23, 2026. Based on the best-selling novel from Nobel Prize winner. Huh. Now they're making a movie on it. Good for him. So the novel is set in a dystopian future in which some children genetically engineered for enhanced academic ability. As schooling is provided entirely at home by on-screen tutors, opportunities for socialization are limited, and parents who can afford it often buy their children androids as companions. The book is narrated by one such artificial friend called Clara. Although Clara is exceptionally intelligent and observant, her programming strictly limits her knowledge of the world. Again, so the typical Frankenstein story of like, hey, he starts to look out the window and starts to see what if there's more to this world, but he can't go out because, you know, he's a monstrosity that was created in some sort of lab by a mad scientist. Yikes.
Dude.
Oh, look who it is. It's this girl. She's famous.
I don't know. It's her.
What's her name? Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah. Heard of her.
Of course, she fits that kind of look too, like an android. I mean, like that's what I would see her as, right? Like she's definitely has that look, so it makes sense that she'd be in a movie like this. And she was in this movie. Have you seen this movie, Death of a Unicorn?
No.
This movie was actually really trippy and funny. Forgot where I saw it. I think I ended up. It was by A24. I have this theory where A24 makes cursed movies, like cursed films. They made that one movie, Hereditary, which was about essentially a cult trying to summon Paimon, one of the Dukes of Hell.
Mm.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, dude.
Got see, we, this is why we need to do more movie episodes, because I recommended El Topo. You like that. Now we need to get into one of your recommendations. I mean, we've done RRR. We've done
a
couple of movies.
Great movie.
That was such a great movie. Remember the film we watched? Because RRR was the Indian film, but the Chinese film.
Oh, what was the name of that again? Dude, I love those movies. That was actually one of the best movies I've ever seen.
The reason why I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to talk about this is because I'm pretty sure we finished watching that Chinese film and it said like the next one was coming out and wouldn't be available until like 2026. And we were like, oh, yeah, there it is. Creation of the Gods, Kingdom of Storms. I'm pretty sure they said there was a sequel coming out in like 2027 or 2026. So
it had the Nephilim in it and everything.
That's what they were alluding to. Yeah, Demon Force is the name of the second one. I don't know if it's coming out or 2025. So it's
all right, bro.
So we talked about that before it came out, and then it came out in 2025. So that might be the next film watch along, because wow, did Creation of the Gods really steal the show for me? I remember watching that film and being like, wow, I wish, you know, American films were more like this.
No, dude, to be honest, I don't know if it's Chinese propaganda or what it is, but it was really one of the best movies I've ever seen. And it had all the good, like it had alchemy, it had demons, it had giants.
Weird, possession going on with that fox spirit, right?
Yeah.
Like so much stuff that we've heard about on podcasts or read about in weird books. So
yeah. And it was funny too, bro. It was funny. Like it's some of the scenes made me laugh.
Hold on. Go down. Do you see there's a cover for maybe another film? Go down further. Yeah, there it is with the green dragon in the center. Yeah.
That's from the first movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, if they don't follow up the second film with a third one, like I don't know what happens in the second one yet, but is there a way to watch it? Does it tell you how you can watch it? Because I remember being on a very sketchy website and only able to see the trailer.
There was a bootleg one that I had found when I had told you about it.
Right.
And so sequels, a two sequel film with Trilogy Demon Force and Creation Under Heaven were due to be released 2024 and 2025, but the release of Demon Force was delayed to complexity of visual effects. The second film was released January
29, 2025. So, wait, whoa, go back. It says something about a third film. You skirted past it. Yeah, go to that part. Release.
No, I did this one. So sequels, let's see here. casting, filming, home sequels to second film.
Wow. While the third film features the what? There's a third film, dude.
Is there a three?
I guess that, I mean that's what that says.
Oh, it. Oh yeah, dude. It comes out January 27th.
Oh, that's at the end of this year. That's only less than 6 months away. It's like,
let's go, dude.
Yeah, about six months exactly away. So in half a year, we'll be able to watch that.
So you can watch Creation of the Gods 2 Demon Force via digital platforms like Prime Video or
Check. Yes, Prime, Amazon Prime Video. As much as I dislike Amazon Prime, this was the website I remember being on where we look. There it is.
No, I can find it. I can find it.
That's just a stream free on Amazon Prime.
Here, I got websites, bro. So let me see here.
Well, my girlfriend's got Amazon Prime, so
I might probably have to buy it though. You probably have to have a VPN, freaking China or something. So what's it called? Creation of the Gods 2?
Creation of the Gods 2, Demon Force.
All right, so I'm gonna put it into this thing here.
I mean, this is like,
oh, I found it, bro.
This is incredible. I think I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Hold on. Let's see what it looks like. Oh, damn it. Hold on. I got it. I found it though. We're good. Watch one, gen two. Oh, I always freaking exit out. I can do this. This stupid website makes you watch two ads and then you exit out. And then whenever I click the second one, I always X out the tab.
Ah.
There you go. All right. So continue the video. Let's see what it looks like. Come on. Don't fail me now. But yeah, I remember finding it, bro, and it was like a stupid bootleg. And I think you were the one talking about the Nephilim in it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Seeing the trailer.
Yeah. Let's see if it's in English, though.
I don't care at this point. I'll watch it in Chinese, in Mandarin.
Hold on. I'm watching it right now.
Hey, FOMO, dude. Come on.
Huh?
FOMO.
Well, I'm seeing if it's in English or not. Dude, it looks crazy.
Is it good quality or is it bad quality?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, my God.
Well, what are they speaking, though? I got to see what they're speaking.
If you're not watching this, sign up for Juan or my Patreon where you can get the video version of this episode. But wow.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me listen to them real quick. Oh, it's Chinese, bro. We're going to have to
find another version.
We're going to have to find subtitles, dude. Oh, man.
I would watch it with subtitles for sure.
I want to say that I watched it the first time with subtitles. It was released in Mandarin with English subtitles. So we're going to have to, there's no English version, bro.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can find a program that will dub it for us with AI nowadays.
No, I can find the English subtitle file.
All right, good. Well, either way, we'll have to set up everyone with a link. You and I and Thomas will get back together and do a movie review, maybe review the whole series. But before we end this episode, I want to, you know, we used to do this segment called Animal News, and that was a lot of fun. But nowadays, I'm spending a lot of my spare time with antiques and collectibles. So we're going to do Collector's Corner segment. I'm going to tell you about something that my girlfriend bought. And she gave it to me because she was too nervous to store it at her home. Can you guess? Can you guess based on that what this might be? It's a collection of something.
That dolls? Creepy dolls?
No, it's hazardous. It's not scary or creepy.
So it's lead?
Nope.
No? But it's hazardous?
Yeah. I'll give you another guess and then I'll just tell you because this one's kind of out of the... It's an item you've used before. I'll tell you that. That's my last hint.
An item I've used before that's hazardous and she don't want to keep it in her house.
And it's a lot of them. It's an entire collection of them.
Is it like, so you said it's not China, is it?
No, it's not. It's not like creepy, but it's also not fragile. That's not the reason why either.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the collection of matches that we got, probably hundreds of old vintage matchbooks for $10, and just a whole wicker basket full of them, of old matchbooks. And like this
one. Like matches?
Yeah, like this.
Oh, why didn't she want to keep it in her house?
Well, I mean, they might be flammable. I don't know. Light your whole house on fire if something goes wrong. But so, yeah, she didn't want to hold on to them. So I held on to them, and I stored them in plastic bags and like squeezed all the air out of them. So they should be fine. But I'm trying to figure out like which ones are valuable and whatnot. And I came across some basically a BS article that tried to tell me that matchbooks from mob connected casinos could be worth up to $1,500. And you go on eBay, and unless these just aren't the right casinos, some of these that the article lists are going for like $1 to $2 a piece. So, you know, don't be fooled, folks. Not us, though. We just got the matches because we thought they were cool. There might be some valuable ones in there. I'm just not sure which ones are. And I'm kind of going through a website to sort of figure out which ones might be valuable, but I'll share my screen. Apparently, the ones that are selling for a lot of money are exactly which ones you'd expect. The pervert ones, the ones that have depictions, you know, from like strip clubs or nightclubs or something, anything that has like the depiction of like a woman on it, like this one for example. Do you see this one? Yeah, that one's funny. So yeah, apparently those are the most sought after ones. But yeah, we came into possession of all these matches for just $10. So I'm trying to piece through them. I piece through them and kind of categorize them by like old restaurant, old hotel, and then like a couple other categories. But for the most part, doesn't seem like any of them are all that valuable. But maybe if I piece them all out and sell them as lots on eBay, or somebody who's listening who collects cool matchbooks, there are a couple with really interesting designs on them, like trains and Native Americans and whatever else. But yeah, so that was something. And then today I go down the street up the road and there's an antique shop that went out of business, and there's some guy in there who's basically selling everything, you know, and he's just trying to get rid of it all. So I put a pile together and got, you know, potentially hundreds of dollars worth of stuff for like $60. So that was good. That was a fun day.
Nice.
Yeah. Little cat figurines and glass and display pieces, coat hanger type rack. Not coat hangers, coat rack type things. It was good. It was a good little haul. So that's my collector's corner. Email me if you're interested in buying some vintage matchbooks. Apparently you have to ship them in a special way because again, it's against the law to send them by mail through the air. You have to send them via what's called surface only mail. So if you're not in the United States, I cannot send you any matches, unfortunately. but yeah, that's about it, man. I think we should definitely do an episode on Creation of the Gods part 2 and 3 when that comes out. But good little dive into actual intelligence, not actually Indians, but actual intelligence, the next phase beyond artificial intelligence. Did you get spooked yet? I am.
Yes, very creepy. And I did download the movie now. I'll send it to you.
Right on. All right, brother. Well, that was a good episode. I think we should wrap it there. Anything else you got to say?
Pretty much it. See you next time for the Creation of the Gods 2.
Yeah, and go and listen to Juan on The Mystery Boys, which premieres on Your Mom's House platform on their YouTube channel and on Spotify. If you go to The Mystery Boys, that's how I prefer to watch it, on Spotify. But then again, I pay Spotify, so I don't want to pay YouTube. But anyways, go and check Juan out. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. And there it is, folks. That was our conversation with Juan, rounding out the month of July. I think we had Juan on 3 times this month. That's a lot. I was doing a lot. I had the antique flea market in Brimfield, Massachusetts. I had the vintage in the valley in New Paltz, New York. And I was at the Brimfield Adirondacks in North Hudson, New York. So July was jam-packed. And I don't have as much planned for August, so don't fret. My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast isn't going anywhere. We've got new episodes coming out this month in August, so stay tuned, and thank you all for listening and supporting the show. Until the next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. Chiquitit, 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 chiquitit.